Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer and Rick Smith. Today is the 20th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2019. So, good morning, Lori. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, everybody.
So, where do we want to go today, folks? There's so many things we could talk about. Where do you want to go, Lori?
Well, we definitely need to update ourselves with garden issues and how Rick's doing with his. Also, might want to go over like a checklist of readiness for everything that's been happening, earthquakes, the storms that have been hitting everything, just to make sure everybody's got their checklist and doing it right. Other than that,
All right. Hey,
Rick, where do you want to do today?
Well, I think before we get into the fun stuff like war and famine, pose a question. I'm thinking about this, and of course I was talking to my wife about this, because she is has a degree in theology, but I've been using James Wesley Rawls' book to prepare the last couple of shows, and there's a reason for that, several reasons. One is that the internet is down and is not going back up, but the other reason is that this, in my opinion, is an inexhaustible source for people who are thinking about trying to be self-reliant, making an attempt. I mean, I don't think anybody is bulletproof here. I think no matter what your best attempts are at preparing yourself for, whatever disasters lie before us, whether it's an EMP, a solar storm, the collapse of the U.S. dollar, a war, anything, whatever. I mean, I don't think anybody has all the bases covered, regardless of what lists or list of lists you've got. Part of that is everybody's got restrictions or constrictions on their time and money. And then, of course, you prioritize. You try to say, well, look, I'm, for example, me, I am not trying to get ready for a nuclear war because, first of all, I'm not sure how viable those attempts are. I don't care how ready I am. If they happen to put a nuke on McDonnell Douglas around here, I'm going to have real problems. And it's not going to be... It's going to be more like, did I have my spiritual house in order because I just got vaporized? So I start with things that are more obvious, like, the most obvious is just learning to take care of myself, so gardening and things like that. And then I work my way down the list, the collapse of the U.S. dollar, collapse of the stock market, and then somewhere down the line is an EMP real effect. But listen, this is what I want to ask you, people, and I want you to think about this a minute. My wife cautioned me not to throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Let me see if I can actually successfully do that. This survival thing that we're involved in, let me ask you a serious question. Why do you want to survive? Why do you want to live? What do you want to do? What is your purpose? Do you just want to stay alive for another year so you can continue to perpetrate your mayhem on an unsuspecting populace? What is your plan here? What are you doing? Why do you want to live? I mean, everything has something imprinted deep in their reptilian being that causes them to try to survive. Even a rabbit, you try to attack it, it will bite you. So that's there. There's a response, a visceral a visceral knee-jerk response to live. But you're a human. You're not a rabbit. You're not a snake. What do you want to do with your time? And this is what I want to say. Regardless of whether you're a Catholic or not, some of the best theology comes from the oldest church, and that would be the Catholic Church, because, you know, for 1,750 years, that was the only Christian church that there was. So most of the older theology came out of that, just from a historical point of view. But the question I want to ask is Baltimore Catechism questions 3 and 4. Why were you made? Well, this is where I'm going with this. Why did God make you? And the answer, and the answer is that you were made to know, love, and serve God with all your heart, and then to be with Him in heaven. Now, you might say, well, that's real pretty, Rick. That, why don't we put a bow around that, and we'll use it on a greeting card. Well, before you get glib with me, let's look at this. If a person grows up not knowing why they were made, they don't know how to act. They don't know. They have no rudder. They're a rudderless boat. They're somebody who's in the woods with absolutely no compass. You've got to have some kind of a very, very loose idea of who you are and why you're here. And if you know that, at least it orders your life in a certain direction. Now, and we find people who actually have a purpose in life are happier and live longer. That is a statistical fact. That wasn't made up by some Catholic. That was made up by some kind of scientist studying people who lived a long time and went around and asked them. A sense of purpose will keep you alive years beyond you should be dead. Okay? If you have a sense of purpose, you have a kind of a list, like Laurie was talking about. Now you've got a list, a working list that you can work from. And so, in my opinion, every single child on this planet should be told why they were made. And it should be in real, real simple terms. You were made to know, love, and serve God, which means, of course, serving your fellow man, treating them like you want to be treated. And if you do that, you'll be a happier person. Paige, as I told you last week, inside the James Wesley Rawls book, one of my favorite sections is chapter number 5, The Deep Larder. And this is a tutorial regarding how to effectively store food for a long-term issue, whether it's a long-term unemployment, long-term illness, and, of course, a lot of the things we talk about, you know. This is what James Wesley Rawls says, and I'm going to read for a minute. I don't normally do that, but I want you to hear his words. The end of the world as we know it, in other words, Teotihuacan, will certainly mean a disruption of the food production and distribution. As you prepare, plan to have enough food stored for your family. Plan to have enough food for a year for your family, and much longer if you can afford it. We were talking about constrictions of time and money. It may seem excessive, but you won't regret it when you are able to live with a full stomach during one of these disruptions. Keeping a deep larder has numerous advantages. Buying in bulk, you will be eating less expensively, and you will be able to provide for your family during a crisis. Now, this is the part I want you to hear, because this applies to you. Well, it all goes. Just imagine how much extra food you will need to dispense as charity to your head-in-the-sand relatives, neighbors, friends, and church members. Okay, so what I'm trying to do here, if you haven't figured it out, is I'm trying to tie this survival self-awareness, learning to be self-reliant, to to an overarching theory that should drive your life. So when I ask you, why do you want to live? Why do you want to live? Bear in mind, you're going to die. And how do you want to die? You know, like James said, imagine how much extra food you're going to wind up having to give away. You know, if you should perish 6 months into this because you gave too much food away, well, guess what next? I think you're going to have a friend in God. So I'm going to end that right there, and then we can talk about the finer points of being able to have enough food to act like a Christian and to provide for your family. And then, of course, there's the just the self-satisfaction of knowing that you've got these skills. Before we go to that, let me add one thing, because I think we've got a couple minutes till the break.
Yeah.
A few years ago, one of the more able and older family members, and I told this story a few years ago on the John Moore Show, but I'm gonna paraphrase this, and I'm going to clean it up a little bit. One of the older, more able-bodied members of the family thought that it might be a good idea to challenge me for my position in the family. Now, that sounds really jungle animalistic nonsense. This young man was tanked up. You know, he was obviously under the influence. But, you know, it makes you ask yourself, what is your position in the family, and how did you get it? If you think it's simply by being the oldest in the family, that may be part of it, but there are older people in my family that I don't necessarily think they're necessarily, I don't think they could grow a weed. So
right.
that doesn't make you a leader. What I'm saying here is that if you own one of those positions, first of all, you earned it. And you earned it by being smart, being kind, by having skills, being the person that can answer questions when they're asked of you, and being willing to help. So that position that you may or may not hold has really to do with learning to put yourself last. A leader is somebody who can take care of himself and others. So you can't really physically challenge somebody for that spot. That has to be earned through hard work, patience, and you have to fill up your head with lots and lots of stuff and be willing to give it all away. That's what makes you the leader. That's what makes you the person. And it will go unspoken. Everyone will know who you are just by what you do. They will know right. You by what you do. So that's where we'll end that stuff. So to that end, we should learn some skills. What would you guys like to talk about? What would strike your fancy here?
Well, I would like to make one point, and it's actually a short one, Rick. And
well,
that is,
knock it off. Well, go ahead.
Knowledge, to me, is one of the most important things you can have. Intelligence following right behind that. But knowledge, experience, intelligence, those are the mental aspects, and along with a good spiritual relationship with your creator. Those things, to me, are every bit as important as how many cans of green beans I have, how many tools I have, you know, stuff like that. You know, the ability to think and work out problems is, you know, to me, paramount. And if somebody doesn't know how to do that, you know, if you don't know how to change a spark plug, you know, if you don't know how to, you know, get a garden ready for planting, these are things that people in general need to know. And, you know, just stuff like that. So what you and I consider simple, You know, I noticed on a couple of trips to Florida, you know, my brother-in-law, who was a great, great guy, but, you know, he'd consider calling an electrician in to change a light switch. You know, just not because he was lazy, not because he was dumb, because he had never done it before. And, right. You know, those kinds of skills to me are every bit as important as supplies, because you can have all the supplies there are, but if you don't know what to do to get more, you're in trouble. And I'll leave
it at
that.
Do you know what an electrician charges an hour? If you have to call one of those people in to do something like change a broken switch, which, by the way, breaks regularly. I've got to change out some GFIs today because those have had in a certain length of time, and I've got two of them down. Well,
yeah.
My point is, you're going to pay to have an electrician come out and change out a switch. It's going to cost you $150, $200. The switch, a common everyday switch, is $5. If you can't, I can do it hot, and I bet you can too. I can do it without even turning off the electric. So, you know, learn these things. But the question is, who didn't teach that? Who never taught that person to do that? It doesn't even matter where the fault lies at this point. The problem is that there's a problem. I know a guy who actually has a PhD who was on a trip, and they pulled over to get some gasoline. He wanted to check the tires, and everybody went in, well, took off across the parking lot to go in and get some chips and soda and stuff. They heard this blast. It sounded like a shotgun, and they looked back, and they saw this man who's quite large, 6'4", probably 250, 300 pounds, flat on his back. They thought somebody just shot him. Nope. He put the hose bib on his tire and didn't know that you were supposed to stop at any point. He didn't know that you really need to knock it off. Yeah, he blew the tire up right in his face. He's lucky he didn't lose his whole head. But my point is, PSI, pounds per square inch. Don't live your life, you know, and here's a hint. If you open up your driver door and look at the jam, it's written right there what each tire should be. Get a tire gauge, and when it gets to 32 or 34, whatever it is, take the hose off and then go get chips and soda. Don't blow your face off with your own tire. Anyway, that's...
check to see if his gas tank was full with his cigarette lighter, Rick. I really thought that's where this was going.
I don't see anything down there. Keep going. Yeah, I don't... No, that would have been just as bad or worse. Learn some skills. Learn some skills. Now's the time to do it. Actually, 10 years ago was the time. But you know what they say? The best time to plant a tree is the day you moved into your house and today. So, you know, if you don't have these skills, my God, get them now. Get them while they're hot. Don't just kick that can down the road. You'll be you'll be a happier person. I promise you.
Well, I agree.
So what would you?
Well, we got a break coming up here in just a minute. When we come back,
you want to take calls after that?
Well, we've already got callers waiting.
Well, yeah. I guess we're going to take them. Yeah.
All right. But anyway, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 1-800-313-9443 is the call-in number. When we come back, we're going to talk to Art Off the Grid on Line 9.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
And welcome back to the Rural Survival Show here on RBN. As Tim said, we do have a call on the line, and it's Art. Good morning, Art.
Hey, guys. I was in the other room, so I was kind of like trying to hear what you were saying, but I couldn't quite catch it. Were you talking about trying to be able to produce enough to, in a prepping kind of situation, like after a collapse or whatever, were you talking about being able to do charity work, like helping to provide food for those who didn't have?
Oh, yeah, Rick went there.
Yeah, I did go there, yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I understood what Rick was talking about, Art. Basically, what he was saying is that if you have all this food stored up, you can help, you know, people that are hungry, possibly, be it friends,
right,
family, church members, stuff like that, you know.
Right, and that's a good thing. You know, to be able to know that, you know, you can help your neighbors in those times of need. But I wanted to also put a little something out there for you Christian preppers who have enough land to actually be able to do a really nice large field full of sort of crops and whatever. Don't forget your scripture and what your scripture says about this. In Leviticus 23:22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corner of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the stranger. What this is saying is when you harvest, leave two or three of the outer rows alone. Leave that put, because the traveler and the poor, that is for them. That's what the scripture is telling you. So this is another way you can do charity without actually going out and giving it. Just let people know after the harvest, there's going to be this food. You can come and get it. I just want to kind of throw that out there.
I like that, Art. I really like that.
That's the thing. A lot of people don't even know their own scripture. And a lot of people, you ask them about this, I never heard that, then you haven't read your Bible.
Yeah, well, I like the way you explained it. I had read that before, but I like the way you explained it. It's a very nice way to think about things.
Well, I have a buddy who travels around the country. He's older, retired from the Navy and from Boeing, and he comes by a couple times a year and spends a couple weeks, and he's a Nazarene, which means he goes strictly by the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. And he and I have these great, great conversations.
I would think.
Where we're not pushing ideology, just discussing scripture and what it means. And this was one of the topics that came up when we were talking about prepping. He brought that scripture up and we got in talking about that, and that's what it means. It means when you harvest your field, you're supposed to leave two or three rows on the outer edge for the traveler, for the hungry, for the poor, because that's one way that you're commanded to do charity. Not everybody's going to be able to do that.
Well, no, but if you can, if things go well, and there are a couple of things that go along with that, like if it's your plan to do that, then some people would say, well, God will probably have a greater tendency to take care of me, get my rain down when I need it, et cetera, so that I can do that. And if you want to look at it that way, that could happen. There's another passage in there. We're not an Old Testament people anymore. Of course, we're New Testament people, and we live according to the New Covenant written in blood with regard to the sacrifice of Jesus. But Leviticus is fascinating, and I really do like it. My wife is an Old Testament teacher, but Leviticus teaches you all about food cleanliness, and it also says you shall not muzzle your oxen while it's treading out the grain. In other words, and that applies to men. If you've got an oxen that's treading grain and it wants to eat, you need to let it eat while it's doing that. And it's the same. It's the same principle. Don't forget to feed your oxen while he's producing your food. So, Leviticus is a cool thing. If you're going to read anything in the Old Testament, I'd say that is a great place to start if you don't want to start at the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. The beginning is basically just like
history.
Yeah, it's more of a history lesson. Yeah.
Right.
But I didn't want to turn it into a religious discussion. I just wanted to let Christians out there know that there is a commandment for this. And just because you're New Testament, whatever, just because you're New Testament doesn't mean you throw out the Old Testament. It means they go together.
Yeah, it's the backup. Yeah, it's the backbone of the New Testament.
So, think about that. If you have a large enough field, if we have a collapse, be it economic, government, societal, whatever it is,
if you're out there
doing your food, just remember those outer rows, leave those alone. Hey, thanks, guys.
Sure.
We'll be back in 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. 1-800-313-9443 is call-in number. Back in 3.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
AncientLifeOil.com. For your CBD needs, just remember AncientLifeOil.com. What does it do for the body, you ask? I can't say, did the people in the suits that run the industry. Big Pharma's all over CBD because of its Research the benefits of CBD on Google and come back to AncientLifeOil.com and purchase your CBD today. Non-GMO and all organic. You don't want to be using a petroleum product. You want to be using the cleanest CBD product on the market. AncientLifeOil.com. We even have CBD for your pet. Help your pet's discomfort. Help your discomfort. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Newly reduced prices to pass off the savings to the most important person, you. AncientLifeOil.com. And one more thing. We have topicals, too. So if you have joint pain and some different issues that are going on in your body, you might want to use a topical. Think about it. AncientLifeOil.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back to Real Survival here on RBN. We actually have a caller on the line, gentlemen. Jerry's on the line today. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Laurie, Tim, Rick. I hear y'all got some pretty miserable weather up there this week.
Oh, man. Let me put it like this. It'd take a tow truck, pull me out of the air conditioning, and it's this house right now, buddy. I ain't going nowhere.
You're not going to get no sympathy from me.
I hear you.
Do you? Do what?
I don't even think you use air conditioning, do you? Aren't you going air conditioning free?
We went through last week what y'all going through. There was one day here that it was 99 degrees with a heat index of 118. And for this area where I live, the edge of the hill country, kind of northwest of Austin, it's not that common. Now, where I grew up and lived for a number of years just right outside of Austin and then east of there, northeast there, in the row cropping, closer to the Gulf Coast, we used to get a lot of moisture pump up off the Gulf in the summertime. And yeah, it would be like it is now. But, I kind of look at that challenge for everybody that hasn't experience conditions like this, especially of those that may be in the manufactured home, trailer houses for y'all that don't know what manufactured homes are, or mobile homes, turn the AC off and open the windows for 24 to 48 hours. And you see what kind of environment you may have to live in a grid down situation. Or even brownouts and what they call them, blackouts. You need to experience that and figure out how to stay comfortable. Draw you a tub of water. It don't have to be but maybe 3 or 4 inches deep. And bathtub, and just get in there and cool down. There's a lot of different methods that you can do. May not be the what you really want, but at least you can maybe survive from heat exhaustion and heat stroke and who knows what else.
Right.
What Art said at Leviticus, I agree, I say amen. Ruth, the book of Ruth, and the Judges. Not a very long book, and look at her. She was, that was a form of social welfare. Her and her stepmother, Naomi, went and cleaned the fields of Boaz and gathered the barley, I think is what one translation says. And actually, she went and ended up marrying Boaz. And if you look at the lineage of Christ, Ruth and Boaz is in the lineage of Christ, either in Matthew or Luke, which
right.
makes it rather interesting. And then Jesus, didn't they call him to task for him and his disciples gathering grain on the side of the road as they traveled on the Sabbath?
Of course.
God made provisions for what we call social welfare, but it wasn't an absolute handout. You had to go and work for it. You had to exert a little effort other than go to the supermarket, fill your basket up, and then use, it's a Texas, the Lone Star card here in Texas. There's other names for it in other states, but interesting concept. But
there is some verbiage regarding this, and even I think it was Paul said, "Do not feed a man if he won't work." So there, and he's drawing a line there between when you're talking about social justice, which is what you're talking about. There is a fine line between being just and being an idiot. To just throw food at people who will not even stand up, will just lay there and wait for you to pour food on them as though they're a meat chicken or something. Don't feed that person if you won't work. So there are some guidelines for social justice, and it's all basically a common sense arrangement. But am I hearing tinklings of music somewhere? But let me just add this one caveat. If we do get ourselves into a situation like the ones we talk about all the time, I think this is going to have a very gritty aspect to it, a very unpleasant aspect to it. And I think it would be a good idea if you gave some thought to that aspect of it. This isn't going to be an extended vacation for y'all. That's not how this is going to play out.
No.
I don't want to ruin your day, but I know I could if I wanted to. So, just give it a few minutes thought about, it's not just about you hoarding a bunch of food and deciding who you're going to let live and die. It's going to be much worse than that. And you're going to need some guidelines. You're going to need some, I'm going to use the C word here. You're going to need some Christian guidelines to help guide your actions and probably some prayer and thought. But I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead. No, a good point. Here is where I get in a quandary, if you will.
Sure.
When it comes right down to it, who do I let starve? A stranger walking down the road or my family?
Right. Does your conscience allow you to draw a line?
That is the interesting thing. You know, there's a pride that happened, existed during the Great Depression. My great aunt was living in Austin, her and her husband, and she, I remember her telling the story of, she was born in the late 1800s, but they were living in Austin, and they would have men particularly come by wanting to work for food. And she said, well, I don't have anything, but here's a sandwich. They said, well, do you have a lawnmower? And of course, back then, it was old push real mower. I'll mow your yard. She said, sometimes she'd get her yard mowed 3 or 4 times a day. They refused to take a handout. They had to put a little effort in it. They had a certain pride that I don't know that we're going to see that today.
All jobs have dignity.
I agree.
They what?
All jobs have dignity. Oh. That's absolutely. I don't care if you're a Walmart greeter or whether you're a pediatrician or a brain surgeon. All of these jobs have their own dignity, and if you're willing to work for your sandwich, then you deserve the same dignity as a rocket surgeon.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know, you've got to respect the individual. I was doing construction work, commercial work in Austin, and it amazed me. In certain areas, there'd be people out there with these signs, you know, need money for food and this sort of thing in the intersection. And then you'd see a young man walking down the street. He'd have a little plastic bucket, probably a 3-gallon bucket. He'd have a Windex bottle in his hand and a window squeegee. And that's not what y'all thinking. He had a regular little route that he'd go to different little businesses, and for $5 he'd clean the front windows. He'd go out there and hit, and I mean they polished. I mean they'd shine like a diamond in a belly dancer's navel, you know. I thought it ought to be washed. Needed washing, but at least he was going out and working. And I'd see these people reaching and peeling, and they'd pull out a $5 bill, maybe a $10 bill, give it to him. Watching? He'd go down maybe 2 or 3 storefronts and do it again. You know, and he had a purpose in life.
It can't be done. I don't want to take up your time, but let me add a 60-second thing to this. My wife works in a school where it's $19,000 a year from 6th grade on to go, very expensive school. Some gal was bringing in her son, going in to talk to the principal, left him on the front steps where a mason was repairing some bricks at the entrance, and the kid was fascinated by this, so he'd be 12. The mason was explaining to him how this was done, you know, that the mortar had to be a certain consistency and all that kind of thing. When his mother came back out, she grabbed him by the arm and jerked him around straight, said, "We don't talk to people like that." Well, I heard about this, and, you know, I got to tell you, first of all, the man was deeply wounded. He was just trying to help a young man who was interested in learning. But for his trouble, he basically got called a lowlife. So, you know, and there's nothing you can do about this, and there's nothing you can do for that woman. This woman has $19,000 to give for each one of her children per year. She got this far in life, she's got that much money, and that's how she treats her fellow man. I don't know why the hell I'm so upset today, but anyway, this is that thing. You know, we're all going to live, we're all going to die. You're going to die, I don't care what you think you are or not, you're going to die. If you want to die with that kind of thing on your lips, you go right ahead. Let's see what happens then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of men to live and then die, and after that comes the judgment. I feel sorry for the young man, the boy that was willing to learn, and who knows what kind of Michelangelo he would could turn out to be by learning a craft to work with his hands. You know, I tell people my efforts in construction is barely adequate sometimes for my best efforts. But I sit back and look, and I say, you know, I helped do this, I did this, and look what I accomplished. And I can take pride in it, you know. Yep. What does that woman have pride in? You know, I'm on a soapbox here, but anyway.
Probably her husband, I'm guessing her husband's checkbook, I suppose.
That's what it sounds
but,
like.
Well, don't worry about that, gentlemen. Trust me when I say my wife will get a hold of that kid, and she will fix it. Before that kid leaves the school where she teaches, that kid will be a stand-up straight young man.
Well, we can only hope so.
Anyway.
Did what, Laurie?
Then I'd say her money is well spent on the school if her son comes out better than she does.
Well, yeah. The good Lord works in strange and mysterious ways, so her better than that guy may end up saving more.
I would say that describes my wife, strange and mysterious.
Yeah, so. you want that repeated in certain circles?
No, and I don't want her listening to the archives.
I want to get out of here and let somebody else throw their 2 cents in. It may be really worth something, but y'all have a good day and stay cool.
All right.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks for taking my call.
Have a good one, buddy.
Good character, you.
You know, Rick, people like, you know, the one being described, I have never, ever liked people like that since my youngest age. Maybe it's a good character trait I got from somewhere. But, you know, I've always, even at 5 and 6 years old, I stood up for those that were ostracized because of wealth or class or status. You know, I've always done it. It's just who Tim is. And you know me, I get along with people who are at the very top of the ladder, and I get along with people that are at the very bottom of the ladder and those holding on to the ladder. You know, something in my soul just grates me for, you know, in a very bad way when somebody treats another human being like that.
Well, And yet, this is the way the world is essentially organized. You wonder who are the haves and who are the have-nots. I mean, I don't think it's who you think it is. I think if you have humility and you see other people as being equal to yourself, then you are a have. If you are that woman, you are a have-not, and you might be ain't-gonna-get person, too. So... Well, I think we have probably done enough, class baiting. We've probably bashed rich people enough for a minute. Would you like to change subjects? And if so, what thrills you?
Well, like Laurie was saying, and we talked about it a little bit, you know, we were talking about the list, of lists. Now, here's one thing, folks, you got to understand. If you're prepared for earthquake, you're probably also prepared for, you know, a hurricane, a tornado, you know, stuff like that. You can kill multiple birds with one stone, so to speak,
Sure. Which, and that's
in,
a real
thing. Yeah, it is. It's a great thing. I mean, I think the only thing that would run us out of here, you know, Lori and I and the kids and everything, would be a wildfire. That right. is the only thing I can think of that would actually run us out of here. And, of course, since that's one of my big fears, I've made sure that over the years, you know, I've thinned out the dead stuff. We keep the lawn mowed. Right.
Right.
You know.
Okay, guys, we have a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes. Please hold on.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And welcome back. You're listening to Real Survival here on RBN, and we've talked about a few different things this morning. Okay, guys, what do you want to do now?
Well, we can go any direction you two
want to go. Well, do you want to do, I think Laurie and I want to garden.
Okay.
You garden?
That works.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this. So here's the deal here. Now, this would be in Zone 5, middle of America. As a matter of fact, the town I live near is called the Crossroads of the Nation. When I say in the middle, I mean literally in the middle. We are
in mid-late July. Now, right now, is the time when you need to be getting your fall potatoes in. I mentioned that before. I mentioned Irish Eyes, people. I don't see a point in them. But off the internet, I got a great 10 pounds of Burbank russet, which, frankly, because of the education that I have to force on myself in order to talk to you folks, I found out that that is one of the four indeterminate potatoes that I am aware of which I am aware. I don't want my wife to catch me ending a sentence in a preposition.
You'd be in trouble.
Oh, my God, yeah, I wind up eating cold oatmeal with no salt for dinner.
I'll give her a call after the show.
Tell her I could use a really decent Caesar salad. I want to talk about Caesar salad here in a minute, too. So I got my Burbank russets in, and as I told you before, we're not going to plant these whole like I did this spring. I'll be cutting these up, drying them, and I'll be looking for larger potatoes. I'm also going to do, here's another thing. I'm going to do two beds of these, and there's two reasons for this. First of all, I want to do one bed. The potatoes will all be cut into smaller pieces. Fewer eyes per plant. But I want to do one using the 6-24-24, which is the 50-pound bags for $13 from my local farm supply. I want to see what happens with this stuff. This, of course, would be a root stimulator. And I'll do the other ones with just compost and chicken litter. But I want to see what if anything, this 6-24-24 might be good for. The other thing is I'm using these potatoes, frankly, in an effort to slow the pace around here, because if I keep planting these 30-day crops and these 45-day crops, I'm driving myself insane, regrowing flats of food just to take food out, to put food in, and then looking for people to donate it to before it goes bad. I just got to slow things down a little bit. I think I've, for the most part, proved to myself that I can do this, produce large quantities of food, but for my own purposes, for my own sanity, I need to slow things down, and I will do that by planting potatoes, and we'll talk about potatoes in a minute.
Yeah, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the top of our break. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Please hold on.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.